All right, it looks like we're all back and it's recording. Just for everyone's benefit, Judy, do you feel comfortable enough to give us a synopsis of what the compact is and how you qualify?
I do. Bear with me just 1 second. The recording did just restart. We're back recording at 10:46. We will need to take a roll call just to make sure everybody is here. Okay. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Dr. King? You're muted, Dr. King.
Here.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Okay, everybody is present. So my apologies, Dr. Cornwall, you were asking for a description of what the PT compact
just,
is.
Just a general, just for everyone in case not everybody understands the particulars, but what is the compact? Its mission, and how does one qualify for the compact?
The compact began, I don't have the exact dates, but the compact began back probably, they first started initiating it probably 2015, 2016. It was an initiative through the Federation of State Boards of Physical Therapy as brought to them by their membership, and it's a way of making multiple licenses or transportation between licensing jurisdictions a little simpler, a little more easy to obtain in such circumstances as traveling therapists, military, a variety of those types of scenarios. There are therapists that live on border lines between states and would typically have to carry both state licenses. So the compact was brought to fruition to help alleviate that issue. And what it does is it is a compact privilege. The compact commission has its own set of bylaws and its own set of rules. A state has to become part of the compact by making legislative changes, by enacting statutes to allow them to become part of the compact. And if a compact applicant, so to speak, wants to obtain a compact privilege, they have to already be licensed. Their home licensure state has to already be one of the compact states. So you have to be licensed in a compact state in order to obtain compact privileges elsewhere. There are, at this point, I believe 32, 33, again, off the top of my head, I don't have the exact numbers, compact states currently. There are other states that are in the process of enacting legislation. And there are other states that have not made it to that point just yet. But in essence, the compact privileges are designed to help with portability of a license. In order to do it, for example, if a person was a resident of, let's say, Texas, that is a compact state, and wants to purchase a compact privilege in Arizona, they would visit the compact website and make that purchase. The compact website gives them information, videos and whatnot that help them determine if a compact privilege is right for them, if they fall into those categories, or and also how to obtain it. So in essence, it's required that the compact privilege holder is licensed in another state. That license, the compact privileges morph around that license in so much as they all expire based on that home state license expiration date. The continuing education requirements are based on that home state license requirements. Any kind of discipline that is applied in the home state or in a privilege holding state can be uploaded to the FSBPT's website, so other states can do that. And as we discussed earlier today, there are ramifications if a compact privilege holder is awarded discipline in any one of the states. It does have an impact on the other compact privileges. So they do have to be a licensee. They're not just coming in off the street and starting to work. So I hope that answers your questions. If you have any other questions, let me know.
Okay. I hope that helps. So we are considering whether or not to we view the PT Compact as an association of licensed health professions. I wish that the legislature had given us a little bit more direction on what they mean by an association. So since they left it up to us individually, I don't see this as an association. I think if I belong to an association, it is because they are providing services to me that make my life better. Whether it be, for example, the American Physical Therapy Association, I can do continuing education. I can do a number of different things. I get together on an annual, or actually twice a year at least, with others within the association. I can network. And to me, that's an association. The PT Compact, they have an annual meeting, but it's not an annual meeting of all compact holders. It's an annual meeting of representatives from each compact state. I also view that their request is motivated by marketing, and I am not inclined to allow them to ask physical therapists. And I don't know that just doesn't make me comfortable that this is really an association. And I'd be interested in anyone else's opinion, because that's really the crux. Do we feel like the Compact is an association of licensed health professionals?
And Dr. Cornwell, I am kind of inclined to agree with you. Like it doesn't appear to me that the organization of the Compact itself. I guess maybe this is a question. Is the Compact Like when you go for a compact license, are you joining the compact or are you just requesting a license through the deal the compact has negotiated? Because it seems to me that from Arizona's perspective, at least, it's not that somebody comes to us as a member of the compact, it's that they request a license under the compact regime that we have approved.
Correct. Yes. The compact is a division of the Federation of State Boards of Physical Therapy. It's a part of that. They also do all the licensure exams, the national licensure exams for PT and PTA. There's a multitude of things that the Federation represents and takes care of. And they're very, very helpful for boards and educating on regulations and regulatory things and things like that. This is a piece of trying to, you know, answer this, the frustration of stakeholders in how challenging and difficult it can be to attain a license in a state when you are, you know, like Judy said, a traveler or you're a military spouse and it can be really burdensome and a long process to attain a license outside of the compact. The thing for me is that, if the compact division of the FSBPT was looking for a way to, you know, offer education or support licensees in understanding things, that would be one thing. But to market to them that, hey, there's other ways that you can practice in other states. And I'm kind of torn because if I don't know that and I've been, you know, furloughed or whatnot from where I'm at, what are my other options as a therapist? So it might be nice to know, but that's actually easy information to find out. So I wish I knew more or got an example or a sample of what the marketing material might look like, because if it was the Arizona PTA, you know, association and they wanted to contact licensees for upcoming CEUs or newsletters or things that are happening in the field in the state of Arizona, that's one thing. This feels really different than that.
Well, I think it's not. I mean, The law at least seems to contemplate that these organizations can, you know, for lack of a better word, spam the members that are licensed healthcare professionals, right? But my concern with this is that what we're really, unless I'm misunderstanding something, it seems like what we're talking about is less a group of physical therapists and more a like a lobbying group for interstate compacts. And if that's the case, then I don't know that they're going to qualify as a group of licensed healthcare professionals, because the qualifying factor of them is not the licensed healthcare professionals, it's the fact that there are states involved in these compacts.
The word association to me means voluntary membership. So I don't know like who gets to voluntarily decide if they're going to be a member of the compact association or not. So I struggle with that as part of the concept.
Yeah, I look at this kind of similar to, if you look at how the APTA is broken down. APTA is the association, but then you have various sections of the APTA, the orthopedic section and whatnot. That's kind of what the compact, how I identify it. You have FSBT, which would be the association, but then you have a section of it, which would be the PT.
If somebody said to me, gee, I hope that it's kind of a label.
Yeah, I'm looking on their website, and it looks to me that the Compact Commission, to the extent that there are members of the actual commission, it's a series of elected delegates from physical therapy boards,
mm-hmm.
And members of the American Physical Therapy Association and the Federation of State Boards. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I'm not a licensed healthcare professional, and I'm on the board, right? So I don't know that they'd qualify.
Any other comments? I was thinking and trying to think of another analogy, but if I go join Costco, I'm purchasing something from them, just like somebody goes to the compact and purchases a privilege in another state. Well, isn't that similar? I purchase a membership at Costco. Well, that's not really an association. And when I sign up and pay my annual fee, I'm giving them permission, in writing that they can contact me with their latest and greatest sales, and stuff like that. Whereas when they join a compact, they're not giving the compact association privilege to contact them. So I just can't imagine that this really is an association of health professionals.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I don't think it's an association.
I would agree.
So then I would, I guess we need a motion. I would motion that we, make a finding. Is that correct, Mr. Harris?
Yeah, I think we could make a motion to not designate the compact as an association of licensed health professionals under 32-3226.
Okay. So
that works for you guys.
That is what I will do then. So I'll make a motion that we do not designate the compact as a association of licensed healthcare professionals pursuant to ARS 323226, based on the fact that they do not appear to be an association.
Okay. And we have a second. Any further discussion before we take a vote? Okay. Judy, let's go ahead and call the question.
Dr. Bastillo, is it you that seconded?
Yes.
Okay.
It was kind of a tie.
It's been moved and seconded to not designate the PT Compact as an association of licensed health professionals pursuant to ARS 32-3226. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Judy, are we able to go back up to item B?
We are. So I apparently Sean was called into, given the short week, was called into other meetings and is in various conference rooms back to back. So I believe he was here early, but I think he left. He's unable to attend. He said we can try to pose a question to him through IM if necessary, but he apologizes for the inconvenience.
Yeah. Here's my question. Do board members feel like they know what their options are and the process for each option, or should we put this on a future agenda? If we do that for the next meeting or whatever, I think what we ought to do is try to put it at a specific time so that we don't run into a similar issue that he's called away. And if you're comfortable and you know the direction you want to proceed, then we can go without him.
I know for me personally, I'd like more information on this process, just being new to the board, just to make an educated decision.
I agree. I propose a motion that we table this item for our January meeting, and we set it for a specific time so that we can get more information on this.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on that motion?
Wait, who did the second?
I did, Giovanni.
Thank you.
If there's no further discussion, then let's call the question.
It has been moved and seconded to table the discussion regarding the executive director position until a future meeting. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, Judy, just do your best and see if you can find a time. And we'll treat it like an informal or formal hearing that we will do our very best to be ready for him at that time.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next item is D, pending Arizona audit, general financial audit. Pending Arizona auditor general financial audit. There you go. What do we need to know about this?
This is just purely an FYI. The information was included in the packet just so you're aware that we received that email. We've received nothing else, no additional information. It's entirely possible that they might, because our finances, our bill payment and receivables is generally handled by another agency, so the Central Services Bureau. So it's entirely possible, and I'm kind of hoping that the Auditor General goes through the CSB to ask whatever questions about payables and receivables. If not, I'm sure they will be getting in touch with us. We've not received any additional information or requests yet in this vein. So I just wanted the board to be aware that this email has been sent to us and we're just waiting.
Okay. Try to keep your anxiety levels down. Okay.
Right. Back to back with sunset. This will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, audit is not a good word anyway. And then auditor general, that's even worse. Okay.
Yes.
So item 7E is the proposed virtual board meeting dates for the next year. And I don't know that we need to vote on this, but if so, we can. Obviously, as we get into November, December, or any date throughout the year, we can always, as long as we're looking forward, we can change them if necessary. So can we just leave that as information?
Actually, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, if we could actually adopt those with the understanding, as you just said, that you can modify the dates, you know, throughout the year as appropriate.
Okay. Then I move that we adopt the proposed dates for the 2022 year with the option of changing dates if circumstances arise.
Second.
Did you catch who was second?
I think it was Mr. Leone.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? All right. Hearing none, I'll call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the 2022 virtual board meeting dates with an option for date adjustments as necessary. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Next item is for information, licenses and certificates awarded since the last time, and then down to item number 8, future agenda items. And are there anything from our earlier discussion with Brian Schmidt that you would like to put on?
Did we miss 7F?
F, financials.
It's possible. You're right, we did. I completely bypassed that. So let's go back up to 7F, 2021 financials. Any discussion, questions? Where's Michael?
No. Where's Michael when we need him?
All right. You don't need. Okay. I think we can. Now we're down to future agenda items.
No, we're on to 7G.
Well, any questions about the licenses and certificates? Hearing none, about item 8, future agenda items.
We mentioned adding the 3 items from Brian to the future agendas. I liked Karen's idea about maybe having one per, you know, meeting over the next maybe like 3 meetings.
Okay. Do you have a feeling like we ought to do one particular one first, second, third, or do we take them in the order that he presented them?
I see Brian's still on. If maybe he has kind of a priority level to them, I'd be willing to listen on that and order them that way.
Yeah, if we were given preference, perhaps medical imaging would be first. That would be of particular concern in the event that we want to start moving forward with the legislative process. We had attempted to get on to the board agenda earlier. But we were unable to. So January is the deadline. I know we won't get anything back in that time, but it would be helpful to have that. In terms of rank priority, professional designation may be able to assist us in some of our advocacy efforts related to medical imaging. So perhaps that's another option. PT compact things have been out there for a while. Certainly don't impact as many physical therapists, in my opinion. So that would probably be the least important thing, in my opinion. But thank you for the consideration.
So imaging first, designation second, and compact third. You okay with that? It sounds like we're amendable to that order. So,
yep.
Judy, let's see if we can't. And if there's any additional information about those as we get close, make sure that you get them to Judy so she can get them out to us. And if there's anybody else that, you know, you'd like to bring in to speak to the issue. Okay. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I make a motion that we adjourn the December PT meeting.
Okay.
Been moved and seconded. Yep, go ahead.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn our December meeting. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes and meeting is adjourned at 11:12 a.m. At the same time, we will stop the recording.
Happy holidays.